This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Nikki Haley suspended her Republican primary campaign for the presidency this morning. That's after losing all states but Vermont in yesterday's Super Tuesday primaries. That includes losing Massachusetts. And as Haley notes,
it is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
Donald Trump is now the presumptive Republican nominee for the presidency, and we want to understand what that means here in Massachusetts. Now, later in the hour, Jennifer Nassour, Massachusetts's chair of Haley's campaign, will join us. Earlier this morning, shortly after the announcement from Haley, we touched base for some analysis with Walter Wuthman, WBUR state politics reporter, joining us from the State House, and James Pindle, a political reporter for the Boston Globe. And I asked James, what did he really hear? Not the words Haley said, but what he really heard in her announcement this morning.
I heard a person who knew that she was politically dead in 2024 weeks ago and is happy that she wrote it out as long as she did, and someone who doesn't really know what is next. I mean, I have always argued that when we're asking, when is Nikki Haley going to drop out? We're asking the wrong question. The right question is, what does Nikki Haley want? Does she want to set herself up for 2028? Does she want to still be a leader of a wing of the Republican Party, which is getting smaller and smaller, the old Reagan wing? Is she unsure with what she wanted? And I feel like she was very much unsure what she wants to do next. And I think, look, if we're being fair, I get it. I mean, she's been going, you know, pedal to the metal, just running for president. And now it's time for her to take stock and figure out what exactly is next.
So Walter Wuthman, Haley said in part, I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country's too precious to let our differences divide us. She lost Massachusetts yesterday. Were we divided as a state, especially on the GOP side?
Yeah, I think the Massachusetts GOP was divided. I spoke to a lot of Haley voters at the polls yesterday, although I note a lot of them were independent voters who were polling Republican ballots for Haley. But it's a pretty solid chunk. And, you know, James pointed out, you know, she's representing a wing of the party that's disappearing. But that wing of the party, that more Republican, moderate Republican wing, still very much exists here in Massachusetts. And there's a question of, you know, where they go in November.
So, James Pindle, Donald Trump got 59.9% of the vote here in the state. Nikki Haley got 36.9% of the vote. And again, Walt makes a good point. We are a state where if you were undeclared with a party affiliation, you could pull a ballot either way. So what does that sort of tell us about the intensity of preference for Trump here and kind of who we might stand to be in the Commonwealth over the next several months? You know, a state that battles it out, a state that's firmly in one spot. How do we think about whether we have a role to play as the Commonwealth of Massachusetts now as this race goes forward? And I'll note, clearly Joe Biden is the presumptive nominee on the Democratic side for the presidency, James Pindle.
That's correct. This is the longest general election in American history we're about to engage in. This is day one, or maybe we've been doing this for a couple of weeks now. But look, for Donald Trump, if we're being honest, he's never been in a stronger position politically. If you look at the 2016 campaign, he was not leading the polls ever. Just had a kind of a surprise win. He was up and down, but not a consistent leading of the polls. He's been consistently above Joe Biden. The Supreme Court decision this week that he can't be kicked off any ballot, it was obviously good for him. And he's obviously, if you go state by state, even Massachusetts, he had a stronger win this time than he did in 2016 in the primary. So his stranglehold over the party has only grown. In terms of the Massachusetts question, I don't think there's any reason to believe that Massachusetts will not be solidly blue. And we don't know exactly how many independent voters picked up the Republican ballot. So, I mean, of those 30, they weren't all Republicans rejecting Trump. And even those that were Republicans rejecting Trump, they're faced with a binary choice just like Democrats are, among two unpopular choices, are you really going to put the other guy in office?
We're speaking with James Pindle of the Boston Globe and Walt Woothman of WBUR a little more than an hour after Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley suspended her campaign and the morning after Super Tuesday, in which Massachusetts went to the polls. So, Walt, I'm going to play you a little bit more sound here from Nikki Haley, who didn't officially endorse Donald Trump.
I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind.
You spent a lot of time at the polls yesterday, Walt Woothman. Were people having trouble making up their own minds? What did you hear from voters?
Yeah, it was interesting. I've covered a few primaries and elections now, and there's always, you know, a sense of anxiety out there. But usually it's an anxiety that, you know, people are excited to vote for their candidates and they're worried they're not going to win. That's not what I felt at all yesterday. There was just this sort of huge dampening bleakness over the whole thing. People of both parties really unexcited about their choices. People really depressed about the direction of the country. I pulled a cut from one voter I spoke to in Townsend. Her name is Carol Smith. And I thought it sort of summed up what I heard from a lot of people. Let's listen.
I'm just like very nervous about where we're going. Because people are just, they just go with their party now. And they're not going with reason anymore. That bothers me.
So Carol Smith is an independent and she voted for Nikki Haley, but it didn't even seem like she would have been excited to vote for Nikki Haley if she'd made the ballot in November. And so that's what really struck me in this election that seemed preordained, you know, that it was going to be Trump and Biden. The thing that stood out to me most was just the mood of the voters and how sort of dark it is.
So James Pindle, so Carol Smith votes for Haley, says people just go with their party now. I think that's an interesting lead to the results that we got on the Democratic side yesterday, where Joe Biden got 82.9% of the vote. That was with 84% of the votes counted. And this move to vote no preference, which is intended, you know, formally as a signal of displeasure in his position on the war between Israel and Hamas, got 55,000 votes. So is there some critical thinking that you see happening on the Democrat side here in Massachusetts? James Pindle.
I understand the argument, but now we have the results. And there's almost a false equivalency to say, well, Nikki Haley got 30-something percent and Donald Trump's got a problem. But look at Joe Biden. And the 9.4% who voted no preference. For context, this is a huge dud. In 2012, Barack Obama had 10.2% when he was an incumbent president in the Massachusetts primary who voted no preference. And this time it's on an issue in the Middle East that about 70% of the Democratic Party agrees with the no preference movement, and they still weren't able to do better than even in 2012 when it was just basically a contrarian vote. We've seen this around the country. In Michigan, even where people spend a lot of time on it, it's kind of roughly in line with where the uncommitted vote had been, even again, for Barack Obama in 2012. Look, it was a quick effort, 5 days old, and, you know, people pouring energy into what they believe, and it's great. But I do think that Donald Trump's got a bigger problem getting enough Republicans on board where they just vehemently disagree with either him and who he is or his policies versus Joe Biden, who, look, if the main issue here is about Gaza, we may have a ceasefire by the end of this week, if not that, by the next couple of weeks. And I don't even know if it's going to be in the news come Election Day. I'd feel a lot better about this if I were Joe Biden than I were Donald Trump's in terms of internal vulnerabilities.
And just to pick up on that, two things I'll quickly note. That ceasefire would be a temporary ceasefire. There are those in the movement, the no preference movement, who are calling on Joe Biden to support a permanent ceasefire. But that doesn't negate anything that you just said, James Pindle. And that brings me, Walt Woothman, back to this question of, do we know, can we really tell at this early hour after yesterday's Super Tuesday vote in Massachusetts, can we tell what independents did or didn't do. I think there were those who thought there'd be this big wash of independents who would come out and express their displeasure by reaching across ballots, et cetera. Do we have any kind of picture, Walt, or is that sort of still to be seen?
I think it's still to be seen, and I know that's an unsatisfying answer. I do think that we'll get more, you know, these are all unofficial vote tallies right now. When they are certified and we can really kind of look town by town, there might be some more answers. I do think, you know, on a national polling level, and James can back me up here, I think, but a lot of people who vote for Haley voted for Joe Biden in 2020. So I think the question is, do they go back and sort of hold their nose, as they say, and vote Biden again, or do they sit out completely? That there's no candidate that represents their little piece of the political spectrum anymore. And if they sit out, then what does that mean? I think it's a really open question.
All right. I think we'll have to close it there, but I'm going to look forward to talking with both of you more as we continue to watch the election throughout this year. Walt Wuthman is with WBUR, James Pindle with the Boston Globe. Thanks so much to both of you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, big stakes last night, not only at the top of the ticket, but also for the state Republican Party here in Massachusetts. We've been covering that in the lead up to Super Tuesday, and we want to talk about it now. Joining us, the executive director of the Massachusetts GOP, John Milligan. John, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good morning. We're still in the morning. It's been a long night, so I was just checking. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And that is a fair point. I mean, right? We're still just processing and coming out of this. And as I understand it, we don't fully know the outcome here. But John, basically, 80 seats up for grab for the Mass GOP, 35 people not running for re-election, a long-term, I'm going to use feud as an easy word, between a wing of the Republican Party represented by the current chair, Amy Carnevale, and a wing represented by previous chair Jim Lyons, and a slate of people either, you know, loosely or tightly associated with Lyons running to try to bring it back to the more Trump-focused Lyons approach. First, fair summary?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I mean, I think in the last few weeks, we definitely saw on various radio programs very clear lines of these elections came down to what direction the party should move in going forward and who should lead it in that direction.
Now, I know not all the votes are counted, but we're continuing to learn things real time. John Milligan, do we know, do you have a sense of how this is going to turn out?
You know, so I think I should just say as a disclaimer, as a party employee, I have no preference in these races. I'm not allowed to engage in the races, but I am tracking the votes very closely. And you know, I think you see some indicators across the state of what might happen here. Down on the Cape, Judy and Will Crocker, two incumbent state committee folks who are very supportive of the current chair, you know, and had come under tremendous fire for their support of the current chair in the last couple of weeks, you know, had an overwhelming victory on the Cape and will continue to serve. Sean Powers, who is an alum of the Baker administration, knocked off an incumbent in his race, who in the candidate he defeated was in closely aligned with the camp who was publicly trying to oust the chair. You know, we have in one race Amanda Peterson, who is the 19-year-old campaign manager of Peter Durant's special election victory for state senate, and is supportive of the chair, came out and knocked off an incumbent by a pretty wide margin. So I think we're seeing races across the state that indicate yeah, support for the current chair and for the direction of the party. And I mean, one of the things I think that's lost between the Trump-Haley matchup and all of these state committee races is that the party won its second straight special election victory last night with electing John Marcy, state rep, to fill Peter Durant's vacant seat. So I think what we saw last night and what we're seeing as votes continue to roll in is that the greatest medicine to the feud, the divide, whatever you want to call it, is winning. And, you know, for the first time in a while, the party is back on track winning elections in the state legislature. And I think voters are responding to that.
We're speaking with John Milligan, who's the executive director of the Massachusetts GOP. Just to wrap a little on that, John, Political Massachusetts Playbook saying this morning, quote, Carnevale expects to keep her committee seat based on unofficial tallies. So do Jeff Deal and his wife, Kathy Jo Boss. Deal, of course, ran against Maura Healey in the last governor's race. And again, that's coming from Political Massachusetts Playbook. We don't have the final counts yet. So now, here's the next question for you, John Milligan. Donald Trump won Massachusetts. He is the presumptive nominee for president on the Republican ticket. The last time we spoke with Amy Carnevale on our air, I asked her if Trump is the nominee, will the state party support him? And she said yes. So what is the work of the state party between now and November? What's the job of the state party now?
Yeah, so our job is to prepare for convention. So Massachusetts, obviously, despite being a traditionally blue state, we have 40 delegates to the convention, which, you know, I think that puts us right about the middle of the pack as far as the states go with convention delegates. So in the next month, we'll be working with the Trump campaign and the Trump campaign chairman, Sheriff Tom Hodgson, to select 40 delegates for our national convention. And, you know, the party will put together kind of that slate, which will be ratified by this new state committee at its first meeting in April. And those folks will go to convention and vote for Donald Trump. You know, past that, the Trump campaign in Massachusetts they do have a state chair in Tom Hodgson, who has a great network that he's built out that plans to campaign very hard, both in, you know, across the Commonwealth here in Massachusetts for President Trump. And so Tom is going to lead that effort with his team, and the party will assist in ways that we can. And, you know, the party is still very much focused under Amy on winning state rep and state Senate seats in November in countywide offices. And, you know, I think you can see by the election results last night, there's areas of the Commonwealth that are fertile ground for us in Worcester County, Plymouth County, Norfolk County. And we have open, you know, there's been a lot of retirements on the Democrat yes. side in the legislature. We have open state rep and state Senate seats there that's what the party is going to be focusing on.
And just in the note, the convention will be in Milwaukee in July. As we go out, our colleague Walt Withman got a statement from Carnevale last night. The last piece of it said, our Commonwealth is better because these citizens have stepped forward to serve our party and represent their communities. John Milligan is executive director of the Massachusetts GOP. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.